What is up, everyone? It's Josh Trent. This is Wellness and Wisdom, the podcast where we gather, apply, and embody these five sides of ourself. These so important sides: physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and financial. We call this the Wellness Pentagon, the very best and most importantly, most actualized parts of yourself. These are the parts that we all want to nourish ourselves in so we can have the best life possible. And in these AMAs and in our entire podcast, the Wellness and Wisdom Podcast, we bring on guests from around the world at the highest levels of thought, highest levels of being. If you're interested in a full-length episode, those are our Tuesday episodes. So make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening. This is AMA 639. And today we're talking about something that affects us all, and that is collective consciousness. What do you think is the biggest threat towards collective consciousness? Let's talk about this today. And let's talk about how we can fortify and build a scaffolding of love and support and resources around ourselves so that we do not fall prey to the clutches of modernity. I'm here, as always, with Mar from our team, who I so appreciate and I so love and I just so value, because these conversations from a feminine perspective are equally as important from a masculine perspective. Mar, how are you doing today?
Well, first of all, thank you, Josh, for saying that. It's super nice to hear that always. So thank you. I actually want to shift it to you. How are you doing? Because we always talk about how I am doing, but nobody knows how you are doing.
Listen, I have this concept of the flashlight versus the lantern. Mm. And I want to talk about this because I fall prey to that sometimes. Myself as a former fitness professional and coach, and now being more of a guide and a host and a mentor, my progression has been shining a flashlight to put that flashlight down and to actually shine a lantern. What do I mean by this? Notice when I ask you how you're doing, I'm pouring myself into you. It is so easy for us that are, I guess you could say, wanting to be of service, which I think is a really beautiful quality to be imbued. But what happens is when we're always shining a flashlight on other people, the dark parts of us stay dark. So if all I care about is shining light on others, visualize this, y'all. You're holding a flashlight, right? The part between the back of your hand and your chest, it always stays dark. So instead of the flashlight, put it down and let's hold up a lantern. Because when I hold a lantern up, it shines light on me and it shines light on you and on everyone else. I think that's what we need, Mar. So thank you for your question. Let's shine the light on me and on you at the same time. Put down the flashlight, hold up the lantern. The lantern is shining on gratitude. It's gratitude for my journey. The more I expand as a father, as a homeowner, as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, as a leader, as a speaker, as a podcaster, it's a lot. I'm not going to lie. And there's many times in my healing spiral where I go into pattern, right? And the pattern for me that I've noticed is irritability, shortness in communication, because I don't have enough bandwidth, at least I perceive that I don't have enough bandwidth to regulate myself. And so the best way to regulate myself, at least at this stage in my life, 44, is to sleep and to rest. Now, I know that seems so easy. It's like, well, duh, just sleep and rest. When you have children, and the parents can relate to this, when you have children, it is not always easy and perfect to get rest or to get recovery, because life isn't about just you. It's about taking care of all the people that depend on you for guidance. So I would say I'm most grateful for everything. And I'm also honest about my shortcomings, that I can regulate myself a lot better. And I'm sure Carrie Michelle would agree. Yes, yes, babe, regulate yourself more. So that's how I'm doing. And you know, it's interesting, the very question that you ask, how are you? I was just messaging with one of our guests that's coming up on the quadcast, Alec Zek. And I said, how are you, bro? Like, how are you really doing? A lot of people ask that question and they go, how are you? It's like at the checkout when you're at the grocery store and the woman's going beep, 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 scanning all the groceries. Hi, how are you? Fine. Hi, how are you? Fine. It's just such this disingenuous, terrible way to greet people. When I ask somebody how they are, I'm like really interested. I don't want them to just go, fine, good, how are you? it's almost triggering for me at times, but I understand it. And he was saying like, yeah, you know, I'm just like you, Josh. I feel like I'm expanding and it's painful, but I'm also expanding and I'm crying with gratitude. And I want to link something in our show notes here. It's the episode we just did with Dr. John DeMartini. And he shared with me that, you know, Josh, if you can go every single day of your life just crying a little bit for gratitude, well, every day of your life, just a little tear, a little salt water for gratitude, that's a life well lived. And I totally freaking agree. So thanks for asking. I think there's a lot in that question. Hi, how are you? Mm. How are you is actually a really sacred question. I think it gets a lot of disrespect and it doesn't get the bandwidth that it deserves. Look, this AMA, as always, is free. Y'all just head over to joshtrent.com/store. Buy the things you're already buying. I promise I'll save you a lot of money. I cut out the middleman. It's a way that you can give back to yourself and give back to the show. joshtrent.com/store. Mara, let's get into this AMA. We have one question today, and we have one question because it's a deep question. And it's from Mark Brown, Mark_Brown, BROWN. What is Mark asking us?
So Mark's asking us a big, big question. What do you think is the biggest threat towards the collective consciousness?
Well, there's many threats. If I was forced to pick one threat, it would be the dark energy, the Wetiko, that is completely permeable to not just our physical self, but our mental self. And what do I mean by this? There is an episode we're going to link at joshtrent.com/639, and it's episode 503 with Paul Levy. And he talks about Wetiko, which the Native Americans described as dark energy, or energy that wants to consume instead of create. Now, there's many ways that we could go with this, Mar, and we'll probably go back and forth a little bit because I think it is really important to get a woman's perspective, mm-hmm. a feminine perspective. I'll speak from my masculine self, even though inside of me there's feminine as well, which, you know, that's the whole reason we have a water sign, a triangle in the podcast logo, because I'm still understanding this feminine side of myself. But from a masculine perspective, I think that the biggest threat towards collective consciousness is Wetiko. Now, there's some aspects of Wetiko that we need to unpack before I get to what I believe the true problem is, and also the objective and subjective solution. I think that Wetiko, number one, it likes to attach to hosts that don't know that their blood is being sucked. The way that we see this play out is specifically with like the transgender movement, when we have parents that are, sadly, it almost breaks my heart just to say this out loud, allowing their children to get their sexual organs cut off. That is Wetiko. Do-gooding in the name of self-righteousness is Wetiko. Saying that I know better for you, I'm going to give you this grace of cutting off your sexual organs at 10 years old, 11 years old. That is a key example of Wetiko. Wetiko likes to hide in self-righteousness. Anytime I am going into a depth of the ocean of self-righteousness where I know what's best for this person and I'm going to be completely blind to any kind of negative, life-changing, life-altering ramifications that this little boy or little girl might encounter because of my self-righteousness, where I'm going to ride on the coattails of a societal movement that it's okay for young children to cut off their sexual organs because they, quote, think they're a boy when they're a girl. Well, guess what, y'all? If you take a breath and you pull way back out of the clutches of Wetiko, out of the clutches of dark energy, demonic energy, you will find that there is always, always a logical, calm, loving, objective truth. And that logical, calm, objective, loving truth sees things from the all. When we see things from the all, we can see cause and effect. We can see that when one action is done, that it has a direct result. But when we're so close to our self-righteousness, it's almost like if y'all could visualize, if your nose is touching an elephant, you can't see how big the elephant is. It's the same thing with Wetiko. Dark energy likes to hide in self-righteousness because it is a way that it can perpetuate pain with the do-gooding cloak of modernity. The do-gooding cloak means I'm doing so good in life. I'm helping all these people. I'm a warrior for social justice. I'm helping these children express themselves. I'm just using that one example because it's very, very, very permissive. And it subjugates children, it subjugates human beings to unnecessary damage, this aspect of self-righteousness. I think self-righteousness is a universal conundrum that we find ourselves in, because hidden inside of self-righteousness is actually, paradoxically, the core aspect of caring about someone else. You know, deep in Bill Gates' mind, deep in Fauci's mind, deep in these parents' mind and in their heart that are clopping, tearing off the genitals of these children, they actually, a part of them wants to do good. I don't think that people are inherently evil. I don't. I think the biggest threat towards our collective consciousness is that people are assuming that they're doing good, but they're actually permeating evil. And I think this is something that we really, really get to look at. And by the way, it's not just the transgenderism movement with children. It's any kind of woke ideology that says, I know what's best for you, and I'm not going to see this objectively. I'm only going to see this subjectively. And I'll pass this to you, Mar, after I say one last thing. If we're going to talk about collective consciousness, that means the all, right? So in the all, that means we have to see things from a higher perspective if we're going to talk about collective. What's happening right now that people have fallen into, and it's happening more and more and more, is we're only applying subjective experience to the collective. But paradoxically, it doesn't make any sense, right? Because if we're going to see the collective as the all, then we have to disassociate from the I. We can't just be subjective in our viewpoint. We have to be objective in the way that we see the collective consciousness. So I think, and there's many more, I think that if I was forced to describe the number one threat to our collective consciousness, it is this self-righteousness, is this almost syrupy tentacle kind of muse that comes into people's mind that masquerades as God, masquerades as light, but really what it is demonic Wetiko and dark energy Wetiko that is manipulating parents, manipulating people, and manipulating society, manipulating communities. It's so sad that dark energy is actually light. The greatest place for the devil to hide is in the church, right? There's many, many parallels that have been written about this in ancient texts, all the way back to the Sumerians, by the way. In the Sumerian text, there is an analogy and a story of Anki and Enlil. Have you seen the Gaia series, Ancient Civilizations, Mar? Have you gotten to watch that yet?
I believe so. Yeah. Like the Lemurians and Atlantis, all of that.
It is so fascinating. Mm. Y'all get to check this out, Ancient Civilizations. Anki and Enlil are essentially the light and the dark. They're metaphors that the Sumerians, and by the way, the Sumerians, it's the oldest written text on planet Earth, stamped into stone. I mean, thousands and thousands of years ago. So they knew the biggest threat to our collective consciousness back then, multiple thousands of years ago. And I think if we can take a breath, rise up, and see the collective from the all, instead of being allured and manipulated into seeing society's issues, society's problems from a lens of self-righteousness, from the eye, I think if we can disassociate from the eye and see the all, we're going to be in a much better place. I wonder from a feminine perspective, because for me, it's about protection, providing, and security. But for you as a woman, what do you see as the biggest threat towards collective consciousness?
It's really hard for me to just choose one. Like as you were speaking, I was thinking it's like,
it's hard.
Wetiko is in everything, right? So, and then you just go into like the layers of it. And I do feel like, especially like during the pandemic, we could see how much damage mass media can create in the world and how much it impacts people's lives and their thoughts and their beliefs and how people are not able to think for themselves. And it might actually go back even to the fact that we're so disconnected from the whole, like we don't see ourselves as a part of the whole. Like there's this oneness that's connecting all of us, but we're so focused on the me, 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 me. And that's all we see. It's like me against the world. But what if we actually joined our powers and our beliefs and our thoughts and started creating something together instead of separating ourselves from the world? I feel like the separation, the illusion of separation is what's driving a lot of the issues that are happening right now in the world.
No doubt. Yeah. And I can feel the tenderness in your expression, because really, if we are all one and we understand that on some level, then what's separating us? What is the illusion of separation? I think it was by design. I think that God, creator, brought us here. And I always go back to ancient text and to ancient teachings because there's parallels to modern day. In Greek mythology, I've mentioned this before, but it's very important that people understand this. There is the river Lethe that is written in their religious text called the Logos. And Alan Watts talks about this as well. We'll make sure to link Alan Watts talking about this aspect of the Logos in the show notes today, joshtrend.com/639 for all of y'all like me that love history. I freaking love it because there's so much to learn. And he talks about the river Lethe, which is essentially the river of forgetfulness. And in the river of forgetfulness, we drink from the river Lethe, the river of forgetfulness, so that we on purpose forget who we are, forget that we're love, forget that we are all, forget that we are essentially made in the image and from the formless substance of God. And I think we spend the majority of our life, some of us, if we choose the spiritual path, it may not be as long before we come to this awareness, that we actually just start remembering who we are. We start remembering how loved we are. We start remembering how supported we are. I mean, my life case in point is a case study of this. In 2014, I broke up with a woman I thought I was going to marry. I put my mom in a mental home and I was $80,000 in debt and I got fired from a safe corporate job. I mean, talk about getting hit to the ground. Like that's where I started this podcast, at the lowest point of my life. And I went through all the stages of Hawkins' ladder. I mean, anger, rage, disbelief, disconnection, before I hit acceptance. And when I hit acceptance, I asked God on a porch, it was this tile porch outside my friend's house. I was renting a spare bedroom. I started the podcast on like a rickety ass plastic laptop holder. I mean, the odds of me succeeding were not stacked in my favor. Right. And so my story started from the bottom. And the only thing that got me here is just a resolve that I would rather die than go back to what I used to be. I would rather die than live someone else's dream and be a part of the broken matrix. I would rather not be here. And it's that resolve when all of a sudden we experience so much pain in life that it's just something clicks. And when that decision clicks inside of you, nothing can stop you because whatever comes in front of you, it can always be figured out. That choice point, that remembrance of my own power, that remembrance that I am loved, even when my environment tells me differently, that remembrance that I actually drank from the river of forgetfulness is the only thing that's allowed me to have what I have now, which is an incredible life that I get to truly be of service, and I can have resources that I give to other people, and I can do it from a place that's not from my ego. I don't care about being famous. I don't care about being this multi-millionaire. I mean, I know millions of dollars are coming and that's part of the process, but that's not the focus. The focus for me is just gratitude that I'm not someone's slave anymore, that I have actually realized I drank from a river on purpose that the Greeks said so profoundly. So I think this is one thing that we can overlay on this entire conversation that, by the way, this is like a multi-part series if we really wanted to talk about the collective consciousness threat. I think you said it perfectly, Mar. Can we come together in the all instead of being so focused on the I? I think that I did a good job of talking about really one of the biggest threats, which is self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. But I think to encapsulate all of this and to put it in a little special container for y'all to go to the show notes and do your own research and do your own thinking, by the way, joshtrend.com/639, it would be, can we remember who we are? Can we choose to remember who we are? And regardless, this is the biggest piece, like feel this in your heart right now. Can we gather the evidence every single day? Regardless of our external circumstances, regardless of if you're $80,000 in debt, if you've put your parent in a mental home, if you've broken up with somebody you thought you're going to be with, if you've had a health issue, no matter what it is, no matter what your environment is screaming at you, can you just decide, like when Neo put his hand up in the Matrix and he just turned his head and he put his hand out to the bullets and he just, with peace and confidence and calmness, he just said no, and the bullets fell. Can you just decide that you are loved? Can you just decide that you are worthy? And can you just decide that you're on the right path? Make the commitment to gather evidence every single day that you are on the right path, you're loved and you're supported, because you are. It's the evidence is there whether you want to see it or not. So see it. See the evidence. Build your community. Join the Liberated Life Tribe. Go to liberatedlife.me and join the Liberated Life Tribe. These are the conversations we have there, because where else are you going to have them? You can't have these conversations on Facebook. You can't really have these conversations on Instagram. You get to have these conversations in a space where you're loved, you're supported, and you're on the right path. So head over to liberatedlife.me, join our tribe. It's going to be, and it already is, an incredible place for you to explore these sides of yourself and to have these conversations that are so meaningful where you can remember who you are. Mark, we covered some ground. I know there's a lot more ground to cover. I wonder what we missed when we look at this concept of collective consciousness. Even that phrase, collective consciousness, it makes me want to like float in an air balloon and see the world.
Well, there's so much to unpack. And as you said, it could be like a three-part series. But I just wanted to mention one thing as we were talking about the unity and the divine, the creator. I just recently started a practice that I do every evening before I go to sleep. And in my calendar, it's called A Moment with God. And I just take a few minutes. I don't define it by time. I just sit or lay down and I just connect with God and just ask questions and just like question everything. It's like, who am I? What am I doing here? Like, what is God? And just like trying to feel the presence of the creator and not just, oh, it's a guy in the sky, but just like really feel it and try to feel it within me. And I think this is something that's been reconnecting me again with the whole, and it's a really beautiful process.
We could all use more moments with God. Great practice. Yeah. And by the way, God is not a bearded man in the sky. I agree. All right, y'all, let's go to the next episode. When you're listening, just click over to the next episode or to the next AMA. If you want to dive in deeper, it's joshtrend.com/639. And by the way, we want to hear your voice. Please leave us a voicemail, joshtrend.com/AMA. Until tomorrow, and I see you again, we're both wishing you love and wellness. We'll talk with you soon.
Doing the cold plunge and cold thermogenesis is fast becoming the number one way to increase your health and metabolism, which directly leads to weight loss. Let's hear from Ryan Dewey, the CEO and co-founder of Plunge, to learn more.
At this point, you've probably heard about cold plunging somewhere on the internet and wondering what all the hype is about. Well, here at Plunge, we like to take all the stress out of the problem by providing at-home cold plunge units that provide crystal clear cold water on demand. As opposed to lugging ice and getting that trough in place and dealing with dirty water, the Plunge provides it always in there ready for you. Cold plunging is one of the greatest ROI tools that's out there. 2 to 3 minutes every single day, and you get the increased dopamine levels, a more resilient immune system, a regulated nervous system, and ultimately just a more calm, peaceful outlook on life. We truly believe that when you take the plunge, you change your life. We'd love for you to check us out and see what the cold plunge is all about.
Save $150 off your brand new plunge, plus get free shipping right to your home by heading over to joshtrend.com/plunge. Use the code WellnessForce. This is hands down my top daily biohack for longevity, inner peace, and mitochondrial health. Don't miss out on this special limited time deal. Head over to joshtrend.com/plunge. Use the code WellnessForce. Save $150 off your brand new plunge and a super special deal of free shipping.